Sorry, I'm late.
Gotta get your window just right. Gotta slide it over.
Yeah, yeah. Just had a flashback to early days of doing this, where I would stop mid-recording and go and make myself another cup of coffee.
Holy it's crap, coffee I forgot about that. And I'm always like, God, I'd like another coffee. And then I'm always like, oh, it's afternoon, though. It's a bad idea.
It's never a bad idea.
when you're our age, I don't know.
Welcome back. Speak for yourself. You're a spring chicken.
Just had a birthday, so not so spring anymore.
Feeling it less springy, are you?
Hey. More splodgy.
Was that the excuse for your little trip? Getting away?
We went on a trip to delayed celebrate our 15-year anniversary.
Oh, congrats. So
at one point, it was like a European trip, and then between not having the brain space or the money to plan that, it turned into like a California trip. So it was nice. It's good to get away. It's the longest we've been away from our son, which was odd.
Yeah. That would be... How did he go? Zero?
It's fine.
Had a great time without you.
Stay with him, and he loves it. He loves them.
Nice. Very good. Yep. What's happening back at the shop? Yep. Mr. Five Axis Mill Man.
It's a paperweight right now. It has landed. I made a video put on YouTube about it, trying to document it some and kind of share the process of starting up with a five axis, because I want that content, and I haven't found much of it. I'm like yearning for like, how do you do this next step? You know, like, and I want to like see that happen. So usually my gut feeling is when I want that, somebody else might also want that. So
totally
doing all right.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Watch your video. Watch your cleaning the floor and chatting. That opening shot of the video, I really appreciated. Yes.
Oh, you did?
Good work, Justin.
I was so like, God, I'm so bored about like the video. The first cut of it, I was like, oh, this is so boring. Who's going to want to watch this? And then after I cut it down, I was like, okay, it's acceptable for YouTube, but it's no Mr. Beast.
No. But like, I think it'd be cool to follow the kind of commissioning and early steps of that. Same as the robot stuff. It's like, there's not much about it. So,
right.
It's good to share that stuff. And yeah. I was laughing because I think you said in your video, like, who has a mossy chip tray? Like, sump. And I was like, silently putting my hand up. I was like, that'd be me.
You have moss?
I'd be the guy with the mossy sump. I don't have a coolant tank to grow moss in, right. But that would totally be my machine.
I mean, when we bought the my brain is so scrambled with YCM and UMC. I think it's because they like have similar sounds, but I keep jumbling them into one big. It's like YMC, and that's like my middle school's name. Like, but the YCM had what I always call, like, it looked like a form of vegetable with like bacon soup that had congealed in it. And that somehow didn't really smell or like have moss. So I'm guessing they can just go in different avenues of like, people culture. Always say it smells really bad when it goes bad, but so far we've never smelled coolant that's nasty. It just looks weird.
Must depend on the flavor of coolant, right?
Right. Which one you order?
Yeah.
Potato bacon
so,
or...
So where are you at with it? Is it wired?
It has power.
Cool.
And it has air, which is a really weird... There's something that felt really strange about like just drilling through the wall to put an air hose through. It just felt, especially because like for whatever many years it's been our neighbor. So it's like I never would have dreamed of like, we're going to drill all the way through, you know.
And all the way.
I've almost done it with a forklift one time, but didn't quite. So yeah, I am very thankful to have spent the money on and invested into like a more capable air compressor than we needed, because now it's like no concern to even have all three machines running. Like it's capable of all of that. And the airline probably needs to be sized up if we added anything else, which would suck. But for now it should carry over there. I'm waiting. Hopefully tomorrow we will have the Cellway, the dealer, come and start to install it, which I'm told could be a day and a half, which is wild to me. I've never had anything like that long. So it's sitting pretty. I mean, we've mostly cleaned the coolant thing out to the point of like, it needs to be connected up to the machine and like run through with some cleaner, because I think the inside of the machine is also gross, but it's kind of like it's locked shut. Like a key, there's no key. It's a weird thing. It's like, it's almost like when your car dies and you can't get into it. Cause like I can open the side window, but the front safety door is locked shut. Right. And you're like, okay, without turning it on, how do you get in there? So it's good. I'm just anxious to like be doing something with it other than walking into this empty shop and going, oh yeah, you back in the corner. Like, what are you doing there?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, sick. Exciting. Pretty controversial machine placement. Back corner.
Is it kind of controversial? Or should it be dead center?
Right in the middle. Walk right in the way. It. No, I don't know.
It feels weird with nothing there.
Yeah.
I have been kind of daydreaming about like, until we potentially sublease any of it, I was like, maybe I'll put like a little living room in one area, just like get some used couches and like a TV and a lamp. Just like stage it in weird little ways. So I don't know. I'm going to put the forklift over there, but it's like, what else do you do with it when you're, you know, not desperately needing space like that yet?
Yeah. Carry on. You'll find things to put in there in no time. Cool.
Mm-hmm. How about you? Mm-hmm. What's new?
It feels like ages. Don't know. What's new? Had a way too late of a night last night. While finishing a job. Finishing those cat cubbies that I designed myself into a hole with. And then was delivering late. And I just really had to put a deadline on them. So finally I told the client, I was like, hey, we're going to deliver a prototype to you on Friday. Edwin will see you at midday. Which just forced my hand to actually finish. I'd been stuffing around with it for weeks and like trying different approaches, but that back pressure was all I needed to actually get things moving and like resolve. Like I hadn't resolved the problem until I had that back pressure. Needed it. So yeah. Put the kids to sleep last night and then came back to the shop and solved the cat cubby, which bolts onto our threadboard system. And I've had various people reach out about cat-related accessories. And it's going into a house that has like heaps of threadboard on the wall, which they put in specifically for their cats. So their cats could kind of navigate around the walls of the house on this stuff. Anyway, amazing. So making these little cat cubbies for them initially. But feel like it could be a potential product area. Anyway, did that. That was satisfying. And then I was like, it's about 9 o'clock by the time I was done there, 9:30. And so then I just jumped back into Robot Land and did another like 5 hours of robot setup.
That's a lot.
But I was at a really pointy bit of the process. I'd been probing. I can't remember where I was. I probably was nowhere near this point 2 weeks ago. I decided to use the third robot as a seventh axis clamp, basically work holding.
Yeah, right.
I never. Video about that. Yeah. I put a little video up on YouTube the other day. And so I've gone through the process of setting all of that up. It sounds super simple, but like getting the digital version of the robot to match the real version of the robot. Well, as soon as there were two of them in play, it just got crazy more complex, like in terms of positional stuff. So I've spent so much time the last couple of weeks just stuffing around with that. Kind of really stuck on wanting my digital environment to match the physical environment. Cause I'm like, no, if I'm going to offline program these things, like it has to match. Like what's the point of like doing offline programming if there's like 3 millimeters of error there.
Right.
So a lot of like probing, recording like X, Y, Z values, re-entering them back into Grasshopper, trying different approaches of deconstructing those planes and then using that data and forward kinematics and inverse kinematics and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, got to the point last night, which is why I was so late, where I was like, oh, I'm there. Like, I've got the positions right. Let's sand some things. So, like, reprogramming some sanding toolbars and getting the part to, like, sand half of it and then rotate on the vise, like rotate, flip the vise 180, which is just like super satisfying.
Yeah.
And then come in and do the other side. So almost there.
I can imagine you just like with like Beastie Boys really loud all night and your robots and you got like headphones on and your hood.
Just kind of, I had to turn the music off actually. It was hurting my brain. I went to silent focus mode. By the end, just needed
to like, do that all the time.
Lock in.
Well, I'll be like doing something like listening to music. I'm like, nope, gotta think. Stop.
It's not working. Or listening to a podcast and like, no, this is taking away from my ability to solve this problem.
Too much brain space. Yeah, but I mean, I can absolutely relate to needing a digital twin. And my version is far less, well, yet, so far. I have not forced myself to, like, really lock into, like, trying to program the UMC. I've got I found a download of the machine, which is amazing. That's, like, exactly why you buy a UMC or a Haas, is I just download it from the Fusion website.
Yes.
Somehow it's not, like, loaded into the product. I have to download and upload the machine spec, which is supposedly simulation ready, but I need to throw on like the Lang plate. And I don't know if I talked about this yet. From the recommendation of a friend, Amish, he recommended getting a, oh my God, I'm going to forget the name. Dion Lee, I want to say. It's a Chinese tool, like work holding maker, but I bought a vise that's like a mimic of a Lang for like $380, and it's so nice. Like,
yeah,
it's
right.
Such a good self-centering tool. And probably the equivalent in Lang would be $1,600. And my thinking is like, I've got the expensive Lang plate. Someday I'll probably get some Lang vices, but for now, while I'm learning, I'd rather mess up a $380 vice than the expensive Lang one. So I need to like get all that into a model so that I can properly simulate, because I felt that way with three-axis machines, like three-axis mill. I was like, I have to have everything in here. I've got the probe in the right spot so I don't, you know, hit it with the face mill. So I can absolutely understand. Especially, my question was going to be, how the heck do you have both machines to program them together? Or are you like, you have one and then you have the other and they're separate posts? Are they shown together in one space ever to like?
It's all simulated in one Grasshopper environment. So I can see all.
Holy moly.
both robots in Grasshopper. But it's very position. It's very like static positional. It's like, cool. Adjust joint pose of Tiny, which is doing the work holding, to this pose. It's not mm-hmm. like I'm not doing like any
ballet.
No ballet. There is a very simple handshake signal, which I haven't wired in yet, which will basically be just Tiny saying, hey, I'm ready. I'm in position. And then Abby is waiting for that signal in her program and then goes, runs the standing cycle and then sends a handshake back the other way, just a 24-volt digital output that says, amazing. Hey, I've done that bit. And then Tiny goes, cool, mm-hmm. I'll rotate the part. So it's simple. That's kind of the only code interaction or, you know, digital interaction between the two controllers. But yeah, I can see them both in Grasshopper. Grasshopper's proving to be pretty amazingly versatile.
I'm kind of shocked it's capable. Is it like really slow?
No, it's pretty good.
What?
Yeah.
Wild.
I did run into an issue with Tiny because Tiny's got longer reach and it wasn't available in like the preset ABB robots in this plugin that I'm using, Robot Components. So my mate in Sydney, who's done a lot of ABB stuff and was potentially going to buy Tiny for a while there, at one point he'd built a Grasshopper version of Tiny. And I could never quite get it to work, behave normally. And so I stuffed around with that a lot, trying to get it to work, but it just wasn't doing what I wanted to in terms of reorienting the machine. I ended up just like reverse engineering in Cursor. I just reverse engineered someone's like Grasshopper component completely from scratch, of just like, hey, I need a new robot creation tool in Grasshopper. These are the outputs I need. These are the inputs I need. These are my seven meshes. Can we just like whip that up, please? And then that worked. That solved my positional problem that I was having with this other, like with the plugin itself.
So the robots are meshes, like the robot models.
Yeah, the what you see in simulation are meshes. Yeah.
But they're solid otherwise, like when you're interacting with them? No.
No. Like Grasshopper, they're like ghost mm-hmm. ghostly. You can't
Oh, right.
Can't pour at them, but you can they're always
if you
in
missed that we were both pawing at the screen like cats.
Yep. Can you just explain what the hell that Lang plate's for again? Because I can't remember or understand.
I mean, it seems very basic, but like, take the same concept as what we have with the Pearson Pro palette base. It's a little thicker, a little chunkier. It's got two posts, and you kind of drop a palette on. It's kind of the opposite case for the Lang plates. They are, I think they call them quick point, QP. I don't know what the phrasing is, but you have posts on everything that are like pole studs basically on your vices, on your risers, whatever they are, and that goes down into the base plates, and the base plate has one ability to like throw a wrench on it, one hex, and it tightens all of the pole studs at the same time. So the one I got has 8 holes in a grid of 96 millimeters
and they all get tightened.
So when you're not using
wrench.
All of them Yeah, when you're not using all of them, you put them on like dummy spacers in them, which make the actuators work inside. I would love to see like a CAD model of it, but there's a drawing of it that's pretty good.
It's not just a slab of metal. It's got smart mechanical stuff inside it.
No, I keep joking that it's a slab of metal with holes, but it's got some pretty crazy like drilled long holes, and like Lang's whole thing they're super precise and repeatable and accurate. And my theory was to invest in this plate that's $3,500 to go on the UMC platter, and then from there we can put fixtures on it. We can put use like a riser to
get
away from
your master zero point, And then everything stacks, all your fixturing will stack on top of that master zero point and be interchangeable, repeatable. Okay. Making sense. Love it.
Yeah. I was really, to like my woodworker friends, I was telling about it, and they're like, why are you buying this super expensive piece of metal? Because it was just kind of like curious to me that it was so costly, and I knew other people would think it was wild too. And I was like, well, it's the same. I probably said this here. It's the same as if why you buy like a Festool or a Merca. Like, you just don't think about it anymore. You're not worried about your Black & Decker sander messing up your $6,000 part, right? Like vanity or whatever you're working on.
It's, yeah.
It's accurate and reliable.
Yeah, makes sense.
Nice. There seems to be a standard around these hole spacings: the 96, the 52. I don't know if there's another one. So you can get other brands, like my Chinese one or this other brand that's, I think, German as well. It's called HWR. That's a little less costly, but similarly as expensive. And then I even think like Fifth Axis uses it and some of the other ones. So.
Nice.
Yeah. This really tells the story. If I'll link to it, but this image I just put in the chat.
Okay.
Of like, it's not just a piece of metal.
Yeah.
So much going things on inside.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Clever thing. Cool. Thank you. That makes way more sense.
Mm-hmm. I just got to figure out how to put it on now and like center it and all the fun stuff.
Yeah, that was the point at which I went to bed last night with my like Axis 180 to sand the backside of the part, and the alignment was completely out. I was like, oh yeah, like face slap. It's nothing centered. Like, the part is not centered on the vacuum fixture at this point. It's just like slapped on there. Of course, it's not going to hit the same edges when I rotate 180. So there's more probing in my future.
Are you wanting to figure out more, I don't know, like how you would, like a more digital way to probe? Is it even remotely feasible with the control, or is it just such a old beast?
I think people do it. I mean, yeah. Don't know. Not going to go down that rabbit hole just yet, but it would be cool to have a serial port that accepts probing data. It's going to be something like that. Maybe you could use just a simple digital input, maybe? I've got analog inputs and digital inputs. Could just have a circuit, like the code's waiting for a signal, and it's jogging in like super slow, and it's like, wait. Oh, there's my signal, stop.
Yep.
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe. Don't know, yeah. Yeah.
One of the, I forget the names, but like Abby could be doing the work, and then like Tiny could be watching, and it's like really close, and then it hits the button when it's ready. Okay, he's there. It's like his little buddy.
Yeah.
Stop. No, stop. He's ready. Made me think, the probing thing made me think, I turned down quoting. It was tough because I like big, tough jobs. What I was estimating to be roughly a $20,000 per part router job. It was a 40 some inch diameter aluminum part. And the rough estimate was like almost 30 hours of machine time per part. And they wanted like, not a ton, but a certain amount, you know, more than a few. Mm. And I was like, and what I came down to is just like, this is not intended to be like a big statement, but I just don't trust the Shop Saver for it, honestly. And that's the only machine I have to do it on.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking now, like, is this the kind of part that I buy a new like industrial router for? Like, I mean, basically it was getting close to like $100,000 for this job. I don't know if they would go for it, but I just was like, you know, what we have now, I don't trust it. It doesn't hold positions well enough for their desired, I think it was like plus or minus 10 thou tolerance. And it was fairly easy. It was a two-sided part with no like major factors, but it was like a ton of material removal in aluminum. And it still kind of kills me because it's like, I don't think a lot of people are going to take that job on. And it wasn't like crazy hard.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what those big Onsrud, I just think of those Onsrud machines. I don't even know how to pronounce that when you say that.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
Yeah. I always sort of hold those in, I don't have no idea if this is correct or not, but like sort of upper echelons of router style machine.
I would assume you can, I haven't looked into it, but I would like things that I would want is like probing.
Yeah.
I want like an actual like ability to hold. I don't want to rely on like limit switches for positional like replication. Like I want the machine to actually hold its position when you shut it off. Like all the other mills, you know, I don't know. Do your routers do that?
No, they have to be homed. They have to be homed every time.
Which I think is really common. It's just once you start to get into that like desire, you've experienced it otherwise with even our YCM, it's like, oh yeah, this is just different. We're like literally working on a different decimal point.
Yeah.
And we would need, I think I would like more than 5 horsepower spindle for something like this. So I don't know. I didn't actually think like, oh, I should try to see if they're interested. Maybe I'll go back to them and see. Like, hey, if in 10 weeks we had the capability, what do you think?
Yeah.
Helping on a router would be so fun.
That would be cool.
I know it's capable. Yeah. Like, we can get some arbitrary, but you got to, like, hook it up with a wire, and it's kind of janky.
Yeah. Yeah. What else has happened these last few weeks? There's been an explosion of AI slop rendering. rendering. Yes, before we get to your filthy Sora experiments, I did note that I said rendering is dead, but I think it's more of a question. I've been legitimately using Nano Banana to render client outputs from grayscale Rhino images. I've built an agent in SimTheory that just knows what I like in terms of render outputs. And all I do is
Nano Banana Daddy?
it's Daddy. Banana Daddy. I just dump in a grayscale, like, Arctic render screen capture out of Rhino. No words, dump it in really and get pretty nice results out of it. I think I sent you some. And it's legitimately winning me work right now. Like, clients are like...
I went with the loft.
Frothing a little bit at some of the images.
I couldn't believe, especially in the things I've tried, and we talked about a little at the time, how it was basically flawless that I could tell. Like, even all the wire grid up above, in terms of replicating it, but also like re-rendering it, almost like in a better way than the original photo was. To the point where I remember saying to you, you have like this isn't your house, right?
No.
Okay, so it's like a client. So they had like a wall outlet for power that didn't have a faceplate on it because they probably were painting or something. And your Nano Banana replicated that. Like it didn't, like it was exactly the same. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very
found that
true.
One little detail.
Whatever it's doing, it's very good at holding certain details. Anyway, so yeah, I feel like I sent it to I was just like texting all my old industrial design friends that I'm still in contact with of like, remember when we used to spend 6 hours like rendering one image? And that was just the rendering. That doesn't cover all the modeling and
dozens of hours
work that got to that point. That was just the output took 6 hours. So yeah, pretty nuts. And you know, chatting to Josh, who used to work here, who studied industrial design, you know, he's probably the youngest industrial design graduate I know. He was just a bit like, oh, wow, yeah, I can use that now in my job. Like, cool.
So this is the thing. Like, I mean, you can go any direction with this rendering. I mean, it's all rendering in a certain sense, but like generation. I said this to Aaron 6 months ago. Within the last 6 months, I said, can you imagine being in architecture school right now? Because same thing, right? Like, I literally made a product that sold tens of thousands of dollars that would cool your laptop for you because we were rendering so much and they would like melt things underneath them.
That's right.
It's all, you know, that's what we did. It was just constantly, you would spend 12 hours, you would start a render overnight and hope it didn't get messed up to open it in the morning to lightly Photoshop it, to put it in your presentation.
Yeah.
And I suppose there was a conversation then, and you can do this with any generation. It's like, oh, we used to just hand draw those things. We'd hand illustrate them, and now you can render them on a computer. That's cheating. But my thinking more is like, now you can get something to create a prompt for you so fast that you can create a prompt to create the image in like Nano Banana or whatever your rendering thing of choice is now, the AI thing. Like, where are you creating something, you know, like as the student, how do you control this like creation process to know that somebody's capable of like, I don't, you know, like where are you imparting your part in it to be graded on, for example?
Oh yeah. The university stuff. I have no idea. Like that must be so
hard.
So messy at the moment. I mean, there's tools specifically for industrial design. Like there's industrial design visualization tools like VizCom, which are AI based, that where you input a sketch and like then work with it in different materials and stuff, which I've played around with a little bit a few years ago, haven't touched for a while. But I don't know. No thanks. I'm glad I'm not teaching at university anymore. That would just be super tricky right now. But you know, to be fair, like obviously I'm putting in my whole Rhino model environment, like I'm not giving it a blank slate of like, oh, you know, kit of parts,
yeah,
make me a thing please. Like I'm giving it very specific instructions of like, you must obey the grayscale image, like do not mess with the structure. It really wants to add extra dowels, like it's really enthusiastic about adding extra dowels into them. I'm like, no more parts. Everything you need is like, there, just give me the materials please.
It's like making walls out of them.
Yeah.
Log walls.
But yeah, pretty wild. And genuinely useful. So that's fun. But still pretty low res. The resolution will come, I'm sure. But yeah.
I'm going too far with it in my brain of like using your generator concept on your website configurator and allowing people to make guided prompts to generate through like basically like a version of Nano Banana. They dump in their image and say, I would like this style, this amount of things. And then somehow that allows an easy output to a cart.
It's totally doable.
I know, right? Like it'd take like Nano Banana is fast too. It's like what, 30 seconds most of the time?
Yep. Yeah. Oh. Love them. So then, do we want to talk about the slop generator? You're having fun. I haven't touched it.
I got a little obsessed with it last night trying to get it to make some stuff. I had access to Sora. I think Mr. Debris sent me access to it, which was nice. I hadn't really thought about it because I was just literally, I didn't have a ton of thoughts behind like what it could be, what I could make. And so I finally, it was just like, oh, I got a couple ideas. I tried a couple of them. And I don't know. It's interesting. It's wildly powerful. I'm not getting quite the quality, which I know there's like a pro version now that you can access within SimTheory that I think would be pretty wild, like higher res and like you can remove the watermarks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you can go crazy with it. Have you played it all?
No, I haven't. I'm strangely disinterested.
Yeah, I was too. Yeah,
like I just, something about it, I have no compulsion to try it for some reason. I'm not sure why, whether it's a bit of resistance. or I just can't think of a genuine application for it.
Right.
Like I was, as I remember when Debris posted that first like crazy broom factory video of like the hyper-colored. Does he? I haven't gone back for more.
Yeah.
I saw one of those and I was like, ha, that's funny. You're already playing this like strange character in your like online presence. You've got some really kooky stuff going on with your skeleton friend. And I was like, cool, that's kind of strangely on brand. Like I appreciate that. I can mm-hmm. I can bring myself to like double tap that video. But then, like, I don't think I've seen any others where I've wanted to engage with it or that I've found genuinely entertaining or, yeah, I'm just...
You're not on TikTok, though, right?
But no, I'm off TikTok, yeah, completely.
Yeah, I've been for a long time. It's pretty wild. There's some... I'll save some and send them to you. There's been some that surprised me. There's, like, a handful that are, like... I mean, you can pick... This is all going to seem so old-fashioned, like a week. But like, there's ones where like a mother's holding like a newborn baby in a hospital, and they'll like roll over and fall to the ground. You start to like gasp, like, "Oh my god, it's going to get hurt!" And then you realize, oh, it's AI, and the thing will run off, or like you'll have a conversation with a baby that's like being interviewed, or it. I think what's so interesting is like, you know, maybe what Debris is doing, or. In a different way to using just the chat capabilities of maybe GPT early on, it takes your brain a bit to adjust to like, oh, I can make videos if you want to of things that don't exist of, you know, like you just don't initially have this like thought to like have those things happen. And I think maybe the other really interesting thing that I haven't played with yet, but you can like, create this thing called a cameo, which is like you scan yourself, which I have not done. I'm a little creeped out by. And then you can allow other people to put your likeness into their videos. So I can do Mark Cuban or any of the people on like that show up on the list. And I'm like, I don't really currently have a need for that. But
I did appreciate the Casey Neistat video you sent me. I thought his take on it was interesting. And it was, you know, he used Sora a lot in that 6 minute video, whatever it was, as a lot of the content really of that video and what he was talking about. And in the way he used it, I thought was really good and very, you know, obviously very on topic.
Proved a point.
He was talking about the tool and using the tool in the video. So that's probably the most legitimate thing I've seen where I was like, yeah, okay. That makes sense. But other than that, yeah, a fair amount of disinterest from my end at this stage.
Yeah.
So
I have another thing in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, cool.
I was all screwed up by a time change, so.
I was very late.
To go.
Oh, yeah, no. It's been a time change as
That's
well.
Fine. Yeah, you had a time change?
Yeah, we did. Last weekend, maybe.
Like last weekend, maybe?
Yeah.
And I looked at the calendar. I was like, wait, what? 12:30?
Shit. Sorry, man. Sorry, Eric. We didn't get to your question. We'll get to it next week.
Oh, right. Yes, Legend. Eric had a good question about Profit First. We have a whole lot about Profit First, which we cannot talk about currently because I have a short bit of time here, but... We'll leave you on the cliffhanger of Profit First, which is just tantalizing, I'm sure, to most.
We'll get to it. And I'm excited to see that my Fang has shipped.
Your Fang!
Woo! I got a notification.
The doorbell earlier was them picking it up.
Sick.
It's on its way.
I'm going to put them in
there. Some surprises.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of videos. There's a lot of good videos in here today.
We'll get to this. Just this YouTube videos. Good. That HTX Chinese YouTube studio released another like incredible banger that's just like 6 minutes, so that does not do justice to this crazy machine that they've built. But some fun stuff. All right. Good, do you think?
Short one.
Short one.
Yep.
Good to be back. Nice to see you. Bye-bye.